Blog Talk
Radio. Well, good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone. It is so wonderful to be back on Wednesday night. Wednesday night inspiration, where we come together and explore the Word of God. And it's brought to you by Words of Wisdom. And our motto is just plain and simple. As always, it's a pleasure to be with you on Wednesday night. And we always have to thank God, the Father, for allowing us to be together. We have to thank Jesus, his Son. We just have to be thankful to the Holy Spirit, our Comforter and God. We living in trying times, and everything is going all kind of ways. People are doing what anything that seems right in their own eyes. But God is able. God is able. And God will carry us through. We have to hold on to that. Our lesson tonight is going to be when you have done everything that God has told you to do, just stand. It's coming from the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, the 10th through the 18th verse. And at this time, if anyone would like to pray, if you press the 1 button on your phone, I can open your mic and you can pray. If not, let us go to the throne of grace. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the giver of every perfect gift, God, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Lord, we enter your courts with thanksgiving and into your gates with praise. Heavenly Father, we come to you with sincere heart and clean hands. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with us and you guide us and you protect us. Lord, I ask a special blessing for anyone and everyone that's on the telephone or those listening through the internet, dear God. I ask that you bless them in the blessings that they need of. No matter what it is, God, no matter what the problem is, God, no matter what the question is, God, you have the answer. Lord, we're going to lean and depend on you because there's no other help we know. Heavenly Father, please help us to use the Word of God as our compass as we go through life, dear God. Heavenly Father, I'm asking for your mercy and I'm asking for your grace. I'm asking that you be with us. And as we do this lesson on tonight, dear God, I pray that your word don't return void. Holy Spirit, that you will give illumination and revelation to those that need it. And Lord, I know it is already done in Jesus' name. Amen and thank God. So I'm going to go ahead and play a song. It's so appropriate for tonight. The name of the record is Staying, and it ties into the message. So you're going to hear this song, and after that, we're going to get right into the lesson. Thank you. after you've done all that you can. And it's just so true that you just have to stand. No matter what's going on, if you trust God, He will see you through. But you have to stand. And our scriptures tonight, like I said, is coming from the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, the 10th through the 18th verse. For those who have your Bible, go to those chapters, and we're going to go ahead and start the lesson tonight. And the title of the lesson is, When You Have Done Everything That God Has Told You to Do, Just Stand. Our lesson tonight is coming out of the book of Ephesians, and it's one of the Paulinia letters, and you know that Paul wrote 13 books, but they call them letters, and they call them epistles, which mean letters. Paul was always standing up for Christ once he had been converted, and he went on a battlefield and for the Lord, and back then he had so much opposition on all sides, and plenty of times he was put in prison because he wouldn't denounce his faith. You know, but Paul kept on, and he kept doing it. But, you know, while he was in prison some of the times, he used to write some of these letters. And one particular time, Paul was in jail, and he evidently was studying the soldiers, and he saw the armor that they had that they went to when they went to battle and to war, and all of the guards and the prisons and things like that. So I guess that, you know, when you're meditating on something or when you get something in your mind, you begin to write about it, and that's where this lesson tonight is coming from. Paul was thinking about the battle and the fighting and how the armor was. You know, the armor, how the armor the men wore. And then he put it in analogies as the whole armor of God. And he used those earthly things to give us a picture of a heavenly thing. And he created it out of analogy. You know, it's not a parable, but he did an analogy with an armor that is used for battle and the armor used for God in your battle against the devil. We all know that we are in warfare. You see, Satan is more serious in this war, seem like it, than some of us are. You know, Satan don't compromise. He just go after you. You know, Satan don't take no times out, and he don't take no vacations. He's always on the job, and that's how we have to be. Paul was letting us know that there is a war. But he's telling us how to be okay in the war, how we could stand and not fall, how we could stand and not crumble, how we could stand and not bend. You see, when you have done everything that God has told you to do, now you gotta ask yourself that. You know, the Word of God's giving us all the instructions what God wants us to do. We study the word, we hear the word, but you know sometimes some people, they are hearers of the word, but they're not doers of the word. But this is saying, I'm saying tonight, when you have done everything that God has told you to do, you could just stand. You see, some people not doing the work and they standing before time. And you know, in a war, if the person is standing straight up and they ain't moving, they could get shot. And that's what happened. That's why so many people in this life, you know, with different crises and situation that happen in their life, that's why they so become casualties of war, because they stood before time. So we're going to go into the scripture tonight, and we're in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. I'm going to do the 10th verse, the 11th and the 12th, and then we're going to go down to the next verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not. This is important, people. This scripture is a very important scripture. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So what is this scripture talking about? This scripture is letting us know that we should be strong. But it told us in being strong, it's not by our might, but be strong in the Lord and his power. You know, it's all right to not have power, a little power, but be connected to the one that have all power. You see, please remember that the scripture always tell us what we should do to get success. But everything that God puts before us, he's already given us provisions. He's already given us, like they say, no more than you could bear, because there's always a way to escape. You know, God working in and through us that we accomplish his will. So he's going to give you what is necessary. You just got to trust him and rely on him. You know, God never asks us to do anything without providing the provisions to accomplish it. Let us look at how God has supplied all the tools necessary for our battle, our full armor. You see, let's look at Moses for a while. God sent Moses to deliver the Israelites from Egypt. I know most of you, if not all of you, are familiar with that. Moses didn't want to go. Moses gave all kind of excuses. But he went. And he did what God told him to do. And you see, when the rubber met the road and it seemed like there was nowhere else to go, the people were complaining. They was getting all over Moses. Moses thought that, you know, he was losing the battle. And when they thought all hope was gone, God parted the Red Sea, and the Israelites crossed over on dry land. You see, there's a war going on every second of our lives. The war is between the flesh, which desire the things of the flesh. Don't ever get it twisted that there's anything good in the flesh. Long as there's flesh on our body, that is where sin dwells. Sin dwells in the flesh. Flesh is going to always have the desire and the craving for things of the flesh. Other definition of Bible tells us that flesh use worldly standards. With looking at that, we know that the war is against the flesh and the spirit which is righteousness. Hi, plenty of times, even Paul said in the Bible, every time I try to do good or attempt to do good, evil is always present. I don't know about you guys, but I have a lot of desires that I pray that I could get a righteous nature. You understand what I'm saying? That I could have a righteous nature in some of the things in my life so I would always walk pleasing God all the time. So if you look at your life tonight and you think about some of the things, you know, the war that's going on, and, you know, and realize that's why we have to put this flesh under submission. You know, the spirit ain't trying to do things that the world do. You know, we could give some for example, you know, but think about it. The things of the flesh, the desires of the flesh. The flesh want liquor. The flesh sometimes want drugs. The flesh sometimes want sex with somebody you shouldn't be having it with. You know, the flesh want all of these things. And that's where those desires come from, the flesh. And the thing you need to know until Jesus come back again, and you live in this body which is wrapped up in flesh. Flesh is going to demand what flesh demands. And the spirit is going to be demanding what the spirit demands. And there will always be a war. You see, we are in the battle, and even if you don't realize it, the devil is using everything in his limited, and I say the word limited, power to try to win the war. But those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior know how the story ends. We really have the victory. But until Jesus come back, we have to live in this world. But the Bible teaches us we have to be in this world, but not of this world. Do inventory on yourself. Think of the things of the world, or things that may not be pleasing God, or things like that, and look at it. And judge it for yourself. We have to become peculiar people. Because the Bible says, you know, we are peculiar people, set aside. And we should allow our light to shine and have influence on the world. But, you know, things really look like they flipped, because it seemed like the world is having influence on the Christians. You see, Christians need to realize that everything we face in life is going to demand a response. But watch this. How we respond is very important. Every one of us will experience some type of crisis. We have crisis today, crisis tomorrow. We're going to have them. And just because we love the Lord and we're doing the best that we can and we think that we're pleasing God with our whole heart, you're not going to be exempt from crisis. But no matter what comes your way, it's not so much the crisis, it's who you decide to go through the crisis with. Hallelujah. And if you do not, if you're not careful, when these crises come, it will shake your very foundation and cause you to go under. Whether you know it or not, how you respond to these crises will determine how well you're able to stand. You know, I have a rule, don't panic before time. And I have a rule, you do all that you could do, and then you just stand. You do what God has told you to do. And then you stand. You know, they have some people say they want a job or they want a new house. And you know, they're not looking for the job, you know. And they be saying, you know, I want a new house. And I done talked to God. And I'm just waiting for him to give it to me. Well, you have to keep yourself in position. Do you have your down payment? You know, did you take care of your credit? Is it decent? You know, but they standing already, and they didn't do the work. But when you have done everything that God has told you to do, then you stand. You see, we should stand, and God has given us a full armor, which gives us the ability to stand against the devil. And as I said before, don't stand before time. Don't stand before time. The scriptures let us know that the enemy is the devil, not flesh and blood. You know, people read that scripture and they say, it's scripture 12. They say, verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, let's break that down right quick. This scripture lets us know that the enemy, come on now, is the devil, not flesh and blood, which is humans. You know, the principalities is our rulers. The power is the authorities. The rulers is the world rulers. The spiritual wickedness is the spiritual wicked beings, them spirits, them fallen angels, the demons, and Lucifer himself. To fight a war effectively, you must know who the real enemy is. See, people sometimes get in a war with a person, place, or thing, and that's not the real war. Many times Satan will make you believe that people are the enemy in your lives, and you accept it and battle all our lives with these people. Come on now, y'all. Who's not the real enemy? You know, it's not the person, but the spirit that is within. You see, the scripture telling us this, and it's how we can learn to love everybody. You know, I may not like what you do. I may not like how you do it. I may not like what you're doing. But I got the Bible saying, you owe no man but to love him. We can love everybody but hate the sin, or hate the attitude, or hate the whatever. We should always love the person but hate the sinful spirit. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. Your husband not the enemy. It may be a spirit dwelling in him. Your children are not the enemy. It may be a spirit dwelling in them. Your parents is really not the enemy. It may be a spirit that dwells in them. And, you know, people always say, you know, especially the ones who, you know, who spiritual, they say, oh, that girl needs to straighten up her life, but what I'm going to do is pray for her. Well, stop talking about you're going to pray for them. Pray for them. Stop saying you're going to pray for them and then you never do it. If you're talking about praying for somebody because you realize that they have a sinful spirit, pray for them. That's our job. We should love them and pray for them. So that's just giving y'all a whole nother list of people to pray for and things to pray for. And if we go to the 13th verse, they say, therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in an evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins, which means your waist, girded about you with truth. And having on a breastplate, the breastplate is just like a person, an armor would wear, have on a breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking a shield of faith, wherein you shall be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, God say, Paul sat down and thought about these soldiers while he was in jail. And I think when he wrote this, he was on house arrest, because, you know, God work it out for your good. He was in jail, and they some kind of way put him on house arrest. So he and I'm talking way back there in the Bible days, they put him on house arrest, and he was still able to do his Bible studies, and he still had people coming by, and he could pray for them. Hallelujah. God take care. He had did all he could do. I'm talking about Paul now, and he just stayed. He stood, and how God brought him through. You see, again, the scripture tells us to put on the whole armor, that we will be able to withstand the evil day. The armor of God is necessary to stand. The whole armor of God consists of six pieces. Now, let's break it down like this. In 14, it says, having your loins girded about with truth. Okay, what they mean there? You see, the truth, keep up with me now, it's an analogy, and he's using earthly things to give you a heavenly meaning. Watch this. Truth is the belt. They say having your loins about with truth. So wrap yourself up. A belt, it wraps around you. So it's saying wrap yourself with truth. A knowledge of the truth of God's word. They're telling you have the truth. Do what 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved, a workman need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. So we're looking at truth, and the Bible says it goes around your waist, and Paul said, let's look at it as a belt. You see, the ancient soldiers' loin, which was their waist, was girded about with a leather belt. You see, that belt holds most of the other pieces of the armor together. The other pieces of the Christian armor depends and is held in place with the spiritual belt or his knowledge of the truth of the scriptures. So what they're saying, you need that belt, which is the truth. The truth is the foundation to that armor, because it holds everything together. And that's why they say, you know, they say that the truth will set us free. You know how when you're telling something, sometimes we have a tendency to lie. Say we have a tendency to lie. And we tell one lie, we got to tell another one. But when you stand up and tell the truth, you through with it. It's amazing. So that's the when they say the thing around your waist. And they say having on a breastplate of righteousness. Let's look at this. Y'all know what a breastplate is. What do the breastplate of righteousness represent? It represents holy character and moral conduct. So they say we need to be true with number one, and then we got to have holy character and morals. You know, do you have morals within and about yourself? You see, obedient to the truth produce godly righteousness. You know, it is a part, you know, it's a part that protects the vital organs. You see, the breastplate is over your chest, and it goes down to your waist, but it protects your vital organs. This lets us know that you should guard your heart. You know, plenty of times we just let our heart be out there. We lend our heart to people we shouldn't, and they get broken. We lend our heart out, and people take kindness for weakness. We lend our heart out, and sometimes it get walked on, sometimes it get abused, sometimes it get misused, and now you're feeling bad, and you know you're wondering why. But you gotta guard your heart. You see, Proverbs 4:23 say, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it is the issues of life. The issues of life come from the heart, so you have to protect your heart. You know, the Bible tells us to always protect ourselves, protect your spirit. Don't let your spirit just be out there exposed. Protect your spirit. You see, a wound to the chest can be fatal. That's why ancient soldiers wore a breastplate covering their hearts and lungs. You see, our hearts is susceptible to the wickedness of this world, but our protection is the breastplate of righteousness. And that righteousness only can come from Jesus Christ. We cannot become righteous through our own works. You can't do enough works. You can't make enough money. You can't buy it. You can't give it because it don't belong to you. But it only comes from Jesus Christ. We cannot become righteous through our own works. It's not our works, it's our faith. When Jesus died on the cross, his righteousness was credited to all who believe in him through justification. You know, when God looks at you, not if you done accepted his son and you doing the things that he asks you to do. When God looks at you, he no longer see your sin. He can only see your son. Let the church say amen. That's good news. He can't see the sin. He only sees his son. You see, accept your Christ-given righteousness. Let it cover and protect you. God has given it. Look, all that righteousness is sitting right there for you. What you do with it depends on you. That's like I say, reading the Word of God. The Bible is there. What you do with it depends on you. God has given you righteousness when you accept his son. His righteousness was credited to you, so you got it. You might not be using it. You might not be aware of it, but it's dead. Try it. Let it protect you. Let it cover you. Remember, that it can keep your heart strong and pure for God. Use it. Then when we look at the other scripture that was in there, which is 15, they say, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Verse 15. What's that mean? The preparation of the gospel. You see, Paul was saying, you know, in the terrains, in the rocky hills, in the mountains, in the ancient world, required study, protective footwear. So now we're talking about, you know, the part of the armor, we're protecting our feet, and we're going to see what Paul says about this. On a battlefield or near a fort, the enemy might scatter bricks and sharp stones to slow the enemy down. In the same way, Satan scatters traps for us as we are trying to spread the gospel. How many times you had a word for somebody and you didn't say it because you think, sometimes I didn't even hear people say, you know, something told me to go tell them people about Jesus, but that might have been Satan. Satan ain't, let me tell you the difference when they say you want to hear God's voice. Remember this, Satan will never tell you to do nothing good. The gospel of peace is our protection, reminding us that it is by grace that we are saved. The gospel, what is the gospel? The good news about Jesus Christ. That's the gospel of peace. The gospel, Jesus Christ, give us peace. You can read it that way. The peace of Jesus Christ. But Paul used it to put it on the feet. You see, we can sidestep Satan's obstacle when we remember, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life. And y'all know that's John 3:16. What is he saying? The gospel of peace. Do you have, you know, your feet is made for running, and you put on the best shoes you can, and you go run for God, and you tell somebody about God. You shed a word of God to somebody. He said that's important, but you gotta have the word of God. You gotta have it in you to put it out. You see, fitting our feet for the readiness of the gospel of peace is the reason for our hope that is in us, with meekness and with fear. Say, go out there meek. And fear, not fear being scared, but trembling that you're gonna really do it right the way God wants you to do it. Sharing the gospel of salvation ultimately brings peace between God and men. That's a scripture. So when you say you want to have peace, if you don't have enough peace, go shed a word of God. That's in Romans 5:1. You should be able to articulate the gospel of peace to everyone who is willing to listen. Our command from God is that we go ye therefore into all nations, preaching and teaching the gospel. Come on now, y'all. That's everybody's job, and God said it. And then if we look at the next one, the next verse, which is the 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So now what they're telling us, we need faith. But he used it as a shield, doing analogies in reference to the armor. So you know what a shield does. A shield is on you, and a shield help you protect you when somebody throws something to you. If they threw an arrow, you use the shield to protect you. You know, you use the shield to help you to not get hurt. You know, you use the shield with confidence because it's going to do what a shield does. And right here in this lesson, Paul equates a shield with your faith. Come on now. You see, when you use the shield of faith, you're saying you taking God at his word by believing his promises and provisions. That's what faith is. Taking God at his word. When you can't hear his voice, trust his plan. When you don't know his direction, believe he's going to bring you through. When you can't see it, when you can't feel him, know he's there. He ain't left you, you done left him. When you're down and out and you're so down, You don't want to look up, and you're not ready to stand, and you're so down, you're not even seeing that he got you. You know, there's a story they have, the footprints in the sand, and they had a man that was walking and talking with God every day on the beach, and the man's life was going good, and he would meet God, and he was happy, and he was telling God about how good it was, and God was talking to him. Well, one day it got real rough for the man, and the man could no longer, you know, something was going on in his life. As I said in this lesson, he was having a crisis. You know, when he used to walk, they used to have two sets of footprints in the sand. So this particular day when the man was having a crisis and he was feeling down and he couldn't stand. Come on now, y'all, stand. He couldn't stand, and he just didn't know which way to turn, and he had all kind of problems, and he had all kind of troubles. And when he looked down, he only saw one set of footprints in the sand. And he told God, you know, why you left me when I was in my time of trouble? God said, you only saw one set of footprints, but they were mine because I was carrying you. Don't get it twisted. Faith will bring you to where you need to go. You know, our shield of faith guards us against one of Satan's deadliest weapons, doubt. If you're walking in faith, you are walking in fear. If you're not walking in faith, you're just walking in fear and doubt. But God haven't given us a spirit of fear. You see, doubt weakens our stand, and it causes us to stumble and fall. You see, that's how you do it. When you start doubting, our biggest battle is fought in the boardrooms of our mind. And we have to watch of the things we think on. The Bible tells us think on things that are lovely and pure. We know our Father can be counted on. You know you could count on God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Our shield of faith sends Satan flaming arrows of doubt falling by the wayside. We keep our shield held high. Confidence, if you have the knowledge of God and the righteousness that he provided through his Son and the truth which will set you free, God protects us because of that, and God is faithful to his children. Our shield holds steadfast because of the one our faith is in, and his name is Jesus. And if we go to the next one, hallelujah, and it says, and take the helmet of salvation. And after that, we have one more, the sword of the Spirit. So let's look at the helmet. You know, a helmet goes on your head. Paul was thinking about the helmets of the soldier, of the soldiers that they have with the full armor. And let's see what a helmet does. You see, the helmet of salvation, because we are saved, our helmet now gives us assurance and certainty of our salvation and hope. You see, that's what the helmet of salvation is about. The helmet of salvation protects our head, where all our thoughts and knowledge reside. Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth, as we said, will set you free. You see, we are free from vain searching, free from meaningless temptations of this world, free from the condemnation of sin. Jesus did all of that. Are we walking in our freedom today? Are we still being bound in slavery? Do we still have shackles on our feet in some areas of our lives? But the freedom is there. See, God does and did everything that he promised to do. When Jesus died, everything he died for was delivered. Now, if you're not in position and receiving what you need to do, do like the lesson say. When you have done everything that God has told you to do, just stand. you know. Commit to the word. Become a doer of the word and not just a hearer of the word. When we hear the word of God, do we do anything with it? Because, see, Satan's going to come and he's going to snatch it away for those who know the parable of the sower and the seeds. Revisit it. That's what happens when you don't meditate on the word once you get it. You know, sometimes you could get off the Bible study tonight or when you go to church. You know, sometimes people say, oh, Lord, church was so good. I say, what did the preacher teach? He preached a good word. What book he came out of? Oh, I don't remember all of that. What was the title? Oh, I don't remember that either. You got to meditate on the word of God. And those who reject God's plan for salvation battle Satan unprotected and suffer the fatal blow of hell. Come on now. They didn't accept him. They're not his. And they got to battle with Satan unprotected. Thank God for the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith. The shoes that I wear on my feet, the preparation of the gospel, the breastplate, and also the belt, which represent the truth. And the last one we're going to deal with is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now that's I read those because that's the scripture. That's not Diane. They said the scripture said, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So they say, take the word of God with you. You're gonna be all right. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the sword of the Spirit is the only offensive weapon in his full armor of God with which we can strike against Satan. Come on now. Come on now. All of the other ones is important, but this is what we go on the offense. Everything else was defense. Hallelujah. You know, this is something we could get him with. We could strike against him with the word of God. This weapon represents the word of God, the Bible, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged swords. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, to judge the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. When Jesus Christ was tempted in a desert by Satan, he countered with him, with his sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We know what he said. The man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out the mouth of God. He countered with the truth of the scripture, setting an example for us. Now, if Jesus used the word and he used it for Satan and it worked, it'll work for you, but you got to know it. You see, Satan's tactics have not changed. Satan comes up with nothing new. So this word of God is letting us know the spirit of truth will work every time because it's our offensive weapon against Satan. Satan come knock on your door, tell you you're sick. You say, no, I'm well. By his stripes, I'm healed. Satan say you ain't gonna never have nothing. You say, I'm a child of God. My father owned all cattle, and he don't withhold anything from me. See, Satan's going to use, and Satan know the word, but he'll twist it to try to get you. That's what he did Jesus. He said, take these stones and let me give you this hillside, which it wasn't for him to give. So Jesus knew it was a lie, but Jesus just went with the word. Thou, you know, shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds them out of God. You see, when we hear the word of God and do nothing with it, Satan comes and snatches it. So we have to remember that tonight, y'all. And the last thing is praying always with prayers and supplication in the spirit, and watching there unto with all preservation and supplication for all saints. Now, this here thing say, finally, Paul say, finally, my brothers and sisters. When he say finally, what he's telling us is, you know, now you done got all of that, but let me put the icing on the cake. He said, everything, you know, that was said, it is necessary. He said, but let me give you the rest that you need to close the case, to be, you know, able to do it. He said, add the power of prayer to the arm of God and pray in the spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of God's people. We got to start praying for everyone. Every smart soldier know that he must keep in line. He got to keep a line of communication open with the commander. Paul is saying here, God is the commander. You got to keep open communication. And the way we communicate with God is with prayer. God has orders for us through his word and the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Satan hates it when we pray. He knows prayer strengthens us and keep us alert to his deceptions. Paul cautioned us to pray for ourselves as well as others. You see, with the full armor of God and the gift of prayer, we can be ready for whatever the enemy throws to us. And as I close tonight, you know, I just want to tell you this. Well, when you look at this, you see God has given us everything that we need. If we go back over, there were six pieces. The first piece was the truth, and it was represented by a belt. The breastplate was righteousness. The preparation of the gospel is the good news of Jesus, and it's going to give you peace. So if you the truth's going to set you free, righteousness is going to make you please God, the gospel of peace is going to take you where God wants you to go because it's dealing with your feet. The shield of the spirit, the shield of faith, with faith all things are possible with God. With the helmet of salvation, you are free. You are free indeed to know that you are free. And the sword of the spirit is the word of God. Paul said all of this is necessary for this war and this battle on this earth, while you're on this earth. That's a good lesson, y'all. Use the armor. Use your heavenly equipment. Faith, truth, righteousness. Come on, use your salvation. Use your heavenly equipment. And I'm a close. In spite of the negative circumstances you may face in life, I want you to know that if you continue to look into the perfect law of liberty, which is the word of God, you will have the ability to respond to every circumstance and situation by faith in God. Armed with everything you need to stand. You should stand still and allow God to fight your battles. You got to stand still and hold on to the confession of your faith. You have to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And my last thing I'm telling you, when you have done everything that God has told you to do, then all that's left for you to do is just stand. That's our lesson for tonight. And I hope that you got, you know, clearer understanding of the word of God. If there's anybody who would like to make comments, say anything, pray, or ask for prayer, you could press the button at this time. Nobody is pressing a button. So I I just used that lesson today because, you know, I think we have to at some point realize in our life, no matter how it looks, no matter how it seems, if you look back over your life and you really think things over, you could truly say that you have been blessed. And that's how you get a testimony. And, you know, all of us who may be feeling we weak, we get weak at different times. And all of us are still standing because we right now in the Word of God. See, we strengthening ourselves to stand for the next tragedy. We're just building ourselves up. That's what the Word of God does. You're strengthening yourself. So, you know, be glad of that. I have a caller. Caller 985-774. Your line is open.
Hi. The message was wonderful tonight. And what I'm getting out of it, shake fear. God is no fear. So if you are fearing, it's from Satan.
Of course.
And I fell short so many times just in the past, you know, 8-9 months from insecurity and depression, you know. So, but I'm still in the Word. And I'm, you know, of course I am. And I'm just praying for more confidence, you know, and still studying. But I just want to say I did fall short, you know, and it's disappointing to me. And hearing this message just points out anytime I fear, it's not from God. And that's all I have to say.
And I thank you, my sister, for sharing that with us. But let me just tell you this. You see, we have to know who the true enemy is. The scriptures say we don't fight against flesh and blood, but it's against them Lucifer, his demons, the fallen angels. And that's what, you know, this sister had expressed on, that she realized that. And we have to watch what we allow Satan to put in our head. Depression, he put depression in your head. He put low self-esteem in your head. And we have to get it out of there because we start believing it. Satan is trying to get you to agree with his perceptions that he's trying to put in your head. If you're not careful, once he put it in your head, it becomes your reality, and you don't even remember how it got there. You don't remember if God put it there, you put it there, where it got there, because it's been there so long. But I want to tell you this tonight, sister. The Bible says all have fallen short of the glory of God. It's not, you know, the Bible tells us, you know, sometimes we be going through or sometimes things be happening in our lives and we figure we the only one, like our case is so bad, our case we've been wilding and it is so long, you know, and things like that. But the Bible lets us know that there is nothing that can happen to any one of us that is not common to man. So anything that happened to you is already done happened and it's going to happen some more. He said, but he will not allow you to be tempted more than you could bear, and he always have a way for you to escape. But you see, when you put on your armor, hold on to it. The word of God that just was expressed, that's the truth. Say that when you're feeling bad. Say the word. Use the word. When Satan was tempted and Satan was trying to take him over, what he did? He used the word of God. Use the word of God on your problems. Use the word of God on different people. Use the word of God whenever you need to use it because that part of the armor, which was the belt that holds everything together, is the truth. And I hope and I'm asking all of the listeners to pray for this sister and you put it on your prayer time. Sister, tell them your name, and she wanted everybody to pray for her for depression and fear. So give them your name,
Diane.
Caller.
Diane.
This is Sister Diane. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm asking everybody to pray for Sister Diane. And I know you guys have been praying for all of the things we've been asking for. You're praying for me. You're praying for my sister. Now we're going to pray for Sister Diane. And anybody else got a request, just let us know, and we're going to pray for you as well. So, Sister Diane, everyone will be praying for you, and I believe it. And we'll see you back on Wednesday if God says the same. Is there anyone else who would like to say anything? Anyone would like to pray? Anyone have any comments that they could add to this lesson? You know, sometime you could give a comment that someone else could get it from what you said. You know, so it's always helpful to add to it. You know, I don't know everything, you know, and I don't confess to, but I'm doing what I can do, and that's all I can do. But if there's no one else, what I'm going to do now is 9:29. I'm going to do the benediction prayer. And after that excuse, I will play some music. I will still be on. If someone is touched and they want to say something, I could still open the mic, and you could stay on and enjoy as long as you want. We could have conversation. If you press your mic, I will definitely open, and we could conversate one with another one. But I'm going to do the benediction because some people don't listen to the music, and I don't want them to get off before hearing the benediction because there's prayer in the benediction. I mean blessings and prayers in the benediction. So as I said, a benediction night, I just want to tell y'all to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, now and forevermore, in Jesus Christ. Amen. So y'all grow in grace and the knowledge of God. And I'm going to have the program is still open. Anyone could ask for prayer or whatever. The mics is still will be able to be open. And we've had the benediction prayer. And I'm going to play a record now, and if anyone's going to hang up, I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I, and see you back next week if God says the same.
Was on my side. Hey, listen. listen, I got some testimonies, listen. Just like Nineveh that was headed for destruction, God stepped in and he said,
not ill.
You're gonna live and you won't see the day of destruction. Just like Daniel, who was condemned to the lion's den, God said,
not ill.
You're gonna
our program for tonight. And as we leave one another, may the grace of God and the sweet community of his love be extended to you this week. I pray, dear God, that everything go well for each and every one of us. Let us learn to pray for one another, dear God. And if it's your will, we will meet back on next week. God loves you and so do I. Peace be with you and also with me. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen. And that's our program for tonight. God be with you.